title this one tonight, In Step with God. In Step with God. In Step with God. Please, if you know anyone who is between the ages and 22, ask them to meet me here. Meet Pastor 18 and 22. Ask them to meet Pastor Bola and I here. Because we are running a program tomorrow here between 11 and 2, to help people identify what areas they are good at. We have a lot of things. We've been testing out something in church as well, which we're going to roll out in about 2 weeks' time, God willing, helping people identify the area, who they are, and how best we've done it with the unmarried group in church. Tomorrow we're doing it with the young ones, 18 to 22, but we're going to bring it to the main body. So it's called passion groups. So we are creating passion groups in church, so people can learn to identify what their strengths are and then use their strengths to bless one another. All right. So if you know anybody between the ages of 18 and 22, just tell them, call them tonight and say, look, we're doing something in church tomorrow. Just go there. 11 o'clock. Pastor Eddie and Pastor Bella will be waiting for you here. All right. Praise God. It says from verse 5, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. All right. 1 John 1, 5. It says, this is the message which we are going to read this verse up to 2, verse 6. Okay. So this then is the message which we have heard from him and declare unto you, that God is light and there is no darkness at all. God is light and there is no darkness at all in him. If we say we have fellowship with him, if you as a Christian say, and if I as a Christian say that we have fellowship with him, that tells me or presupposes that God has called you to have fellowship with him. Maybe we'll touch on that another day. God has called you to have fellowship with him. And walk in darkness, we lie. We lie. And we do not practice the truth. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. We lie. And we do not practice the truth. So two things stand out for me right there and stand out for you and I right there. You are called to have fellowship with Christ. Please, all of you listen, including our young ones. It doesn't matter how young you are, right? You are called to fellowship with Christ. Whether your parents are there, whether your parents are not there, right? Even as adults, whether the pastor is there or the pastor is not there, you are called to fellowship with Christ. You are called to fellowship with Christ. And if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, so it is possible for you to walk in darkness. But mind you here, church, he wasn't talking to non-Christians. He was not talking to non-Christians. He says, so it is possible for you to fellowship in Christ and then you still do the works of darkness. You still walk in darkness. He says, if you do that, he says, you are a liar. You are a liar. And I know what the Bible says about liars. Say, all liars will do what? Say, all liars will do what? It says, the Bible says, all liars will go to hell. So, it says, there you go. It says, you know, it says, and say, but if we walk in the light, so it's possible to walk in the light. Please, what does it mean to walk in the light? There should be nothing shady about your walk. There should be nothing shady. But if we say we have fresh man walking, we lie. Next verse, please. Come on, pull up next verse. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, so God, Jesus, is in the light. God is in the light. So if we walk in the light, so you should walk in the light. What does that mean to you and I, my folks? It means that there should be nothing shady about you. A few years ago, I've said this story several times, my spiritual father called me and said, oh, I heard so-and-so about this so-and-so person. My son, is that true? I said, why are we having this conversation? I said, why are we having this conversation, Father? Why are we having this conversation? And that was the scripture. If he walked in the light, we won't be having this conversation. I said, sir, what we should be asking here is this. With all due respect, Why is his name being mentioned? I said, so Dad, you're asking me that did he do it or did he not do it? I said, and I'm thinking, but that is step two. Step one is, why is his name being mentioned in this situation? We're not talking about MBE. We're not talking about an award. We're not talking about scholarship. It's not like, is it true he got a scholarship? Oh, is it true the queen invited him to the palace or her to the palace? No. We're talking about something else. So, this is not whether guilty or not guilty is not the issue here. Your name should not be mentioned. Your name. If we walk in light, as he is the light, we have, as if you walk, so walking in light means that when we are counting, we shouldn't be looking at people, doing something and then CCTV catches you when a bank robbery is taking place. And they say, oh, I just happen to be walking by. You understand what I'm saying? They say there's a bank robbery taking place. And then all of a sudden, we say, Vivian, that scarf, is that your scarf? I was just walking. Where are you walking by at that time? What kind of walk is that? Do you understand what I'm saying? What is your scarf? He said, actually one day somebody came to my house and he said he needed a scarf to tie his car. I gave my scarf. And then, why are you telling stories? Where is your scarf? Do you understand what I'm saying? So you should walk in light. Walk in the light. You know, forgive me, but if you look at, sometimes you look at it, read the papers, and then you see, they say, oh, wow, a young black boy was stabbed by 3 a.m. in the morning. What is it? Where is he coming from? What are you doing on the street by 3 a.m. in the morning? A young girl was raped while she was walking down the path by 11 p.m. What are you doing on the street by 11 p.m.? Reasonable people at home. And then he says, because I'm black. It's not because you are black, it's because you are stupid. Walk in the light. You walk in the light. You walk in the light. As he is in the light. And we have fellowship with one with another. And then the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses all of us. But walk in the light. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the Bible talks about walk in the light as he is in the light. That means that God is in the light. Walking in the light is our job to what? Keep up pace. You keep up pace. Keep up pace. With God, keep up pace in the Lord. Walk in the Lord, and then you keep up your pace. If you don't keep up your pace, very soon you will find yourself doing the things you are not meant to do. Find yourself saying things you're not meant to say. Find yourself indulging yourself in the things you are not meant to indulge yourself in because you are not keeping up in step with the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's read on, church. Let's read on. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And sin talks about disobedience. If we say we do not disobey, right, we deceive ourselves. I mean, the pastor may not catch you, but the Holy Ghost have arrested you 10 times over. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Next verse, quickly. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. In other words, acknowledge that we are in disobedience, amen, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise the Lord. Let's move on. Praise the Lord. Next, let's read on quickly. Okay, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. Next verse. All right, and he is in the propitiation of our sins, and not for us only, but also for the sins of the world. Church, just look at something. Church, let's go back to that first John from verse 6. I want to count the number of times he says sins. Every time I say sin, right, you shout one. Let's count it, okay? Now, let's count it. We'll do that exercise. Start from verse 5. Every time I say sin, shout one, all right? Okay, so you understand that God wants to live in light. He does not want to live in disobedience. That's my point tonight. God wants to walk in light. He does not want you to live in disobedience. God wants to keep up his step, keep up your step with him in light. In light, as a Christian, born again, spirit-filled Christian, stay in the light. Stay, no shady deals, you stay in the light. Amen? Can we do this exercise? All right, 1 John, I'll read from verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him. Every time I mention sin, you shout one and then you count. Let's see how many. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him there's no darkness. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. No, shout one more time.
One.
Okay, verse 8. If we say that we have no sin,
two.
We declare ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins,
three.
We is faithful and just to forgive us our sins.
Four.
And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned,
five.
we make him a liar and his word is not in us. My little children, these things are right to you so that you may not sin. If anyone sins and have an advocate with the propitiation of all our sins.
Eight.
How many times?
Eight times.
Eight times. He warns you. Eight times. Be careful. If you are not careful, disobedience, eight times, one piece of scripture, eight times, and yet, we don't take it serious. Most Christians don't. Average Christian thinks that because you come to church, you have what it takes just by coming to church and sitting down without working on your life and without steering your life and making a decision, you make it, you think that you have everything in control, but no. God does not like people who are disobedient. Those who know what the scripture says and do the otherwise. You counted it. Eight times. What does that mean? You see, it's important that we have an attitude towards disobedience. For you to walk in the light, we must have an... Pastor, why are you going on? No. Because listen, very soon, the world will be looking at this church. And the world is already looking at this church. They will look at people in this church. They will look at the children in this church. They will look at the teenagers. They will look at the young adults. They will look at the pastor. They will look at the marriages. They will look at the works of their hands. They will look at them. What will people find? What will people find if they look into your life? Will you be proud? Are you representing Christ well with the way you live in your life? Are you even paying attention that God needs you to live your life in a certain way so he can reach the world? Let me slow down for a second. Are you aware that God needs you to live your life in a certain way because he wants to reach the world? It did not start with you. It should not end with you. God wants to reach the world, one person at a time, but he needs people to reach the world. Will you be a good representative, a good representation of the kingdom of God by the way you live your life? That's what we are saying. Not when people are watching. No. When the curtains come down, who are you? When the curtains come down, who are you really? Who are we? When the curtains come down, who are we? In the dark, who are you? Praise the Lord. And the church is in a position to, the church will never be in a position to influence the world if they do not walk in the light. You must walk in the light. Tell me to your neighbor, walk in the light. Praise the Lord. You must walk in the light. You must pay attention to the issue of disobedience in your life. Abraham was careless about it. He lied to protect himself. You must pay attention to yourself as a Christian. Moses needed to overcome his anger. He missed the promised land. David committed adultery, got careless. You know? Noah got drunk and exposed himself. These are not good stories. These are not good stories. James and John were filled with jealousy. Peter denied Jesus. You got to pay attention to your spiritual life, or you'll be one more classy example of those who did not. We don't want to be that church that is a very good example of how not to follow, of those who are not following Jesus properly. We don't want to be that example. That's why over the years we've taken time prayerfully that God will add to us carefully in a matured way, raising disciples. That's why we never joke with discipleship program. Are you listening? So the difference between a believer and a non-believer is just attitude to disobedience. Attitude to the things that make God's heart bleed. Many of us are indifferent when it comes to the things that God hates. We are indifferent. We have a very huge tolerance for the things that God despises. We know them, but we won't do them. We know them here. They never sit in our spirit. We have a huge tolerance of the things that make God scream. We have a huge tolerance for them. We find them comfortable. And many of us know understand areas where we know that we have areas in our lives where this is not really godly, but we don't stop. Our attitude. So you must have a very healthy attitude to disobedience. And what's the healthy attitude? Number one, you understand that God does not like it. Number two, you seek help. Number one, you understand that God does not like it. So you seek help. You seek help from those who are more spiritually mature than yourself, and they come alongside and yoke you like an oxen. You'd rather be yoked in the church or be hanged in society. Are you all listening to me? You better be yoked in the church. In other words, somebody grab you and tame you and pull that demon out of you and exorcise that spirit out of you with all mentoring things, whatever it is that one can pray and fast that way, and then you come out. It's better to say, look, brother, I have this. Someone help me here. I am dealing with this. Someone help me here. You either cry for help or you wait until the world hangs you. Because there's nothing hidden under the sun. There's no such thing as a secret. There is no such thing as a what? Oh, and by the way, there's no such thing as a BBF. You know? Yeah? Is it BBF they call it? BFF. Thank you. What's BF? What's the other F for? Oh, that thing doesn't work, guys. Doesn't work. You don't take comfort in your friend. You seek help. Someone help me. If you are not, look, I'm saying it now. I wish I'm preaching this one on Sunday. I don't know why God has to preach this one here today. If you need help, cry now before the magnifying glass come. If you need help, cry now. Not the day we say, look at that pastor. He's on TV. He's still owing me. Oh, there are so many people like that. This pastor's on TV. His church. They're owing us. Write him. Help me to your neighbor. Seek help. Attitude. Your attitude. When you live in disobedience, right, listen very carefully, it hurts people. It will hurt you. It will hurt those around you. Especially our young people. Amen. And for the young ones, you don't go and do things that will make your parents look stupid. And for the adults, you don't go and do anything that makes your church look stupid. You know, somebody came. I heard somebody. Somebody came to the and said, this person. My first question was, what church does that person? And then who is the pastor? Who's the pastor? What have you been feeding on? My head. Someone in the other way were coaching somebody, and the person was talking about. I said, my goodness, why are you talking like this? Where do you go to? Where do you come from? Why are you talking like this? Who talks like this? Your language. Who talks like this? Why are you thinking like this? Why are you talking like this? I said, what church did you go to? He said, I go to this. I said, my goodness, where's your pastor? Is that how you guys talk? Is that how you guys talk? Well, you talk defeat. You talk down, talk defeat, talk feet, talk down your tongue. Is that how you guys talk? I said, my, that's this. Please. Don't do that around me. So whether you like it or not, there's a culture going on. The culture of victory in Christ, at least here. And God needs to step up to your game on this thing. You are a Christian now. You stay focused on the reason why God called you out of darkness into light. And don't make shipwreck of your faith. Let me say it in English language. That's Apostle Paul's language, shipwreck of your faith. And don't destroy your upbringing as a Christian. Destroy your upbringing as a Christian. So, to keep in step with God, we have to keep in step with the Lord. We have to have a healthy attitude towards disobedience. You must not do what God says you shouldn't do. And you must do what God says you should do. That's the second point. Second point is attitude towards disobedience. And the first point is your attitude towards disobedience. Do you know people have a healthy attitude towards that. That is what is not right, what is not good, what is not wholesome. So the second thing is that you must pursue obedience. You must pursue it. I was telling this young lady today, I said, look at you. I said, you think freedom is easy to handle. I said, but look at you. Freedom is not easy to handle. I said, look at your life right now. Look at your life right now. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. I said, is that how you're going to end up now? I know what I'm doing. This is your life now. I know what I'm doing. You must desire to be obedient to God. You must desire to be obedient to God. You must desire. Right? That's the key word. 2 verse 3. Now, by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Okay? You must desire. We must keep his commandments. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar. And the truth is not in him. You must desire to keep his commandments. But whoever keeps his commandments, look at that. Verse 3, keep his commandments. Verse 4, know him. Verse 5, keep his word, right? By this we know him, and that we are in him. We are in him. We know him. We keep his commandments. It's all saying the same thing. He who says he abides in him, ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Praise the Lord. Just look at that. Different ways of saying the same thing. At the end of the day, he's saying one thing. We all should have a desire to be obedient to the Lord in spite of any pressure we feel in life. You must desire to be obedient. You can't call yourself a Christian when you know exactly how God wants you to behave, respond, react, and you do the exact opposite. Come on, church. Someone help me preach here. Obedience must become our heart desire. Yeah? Obedience must become our heart desire. What good is it to hear a word and keep hearing a word that you will never do? What exactly is the point? Someone asked me a few years ago, a few years ago, I can't even remember now. They said, so do you read? I said, yeah, of course I read. And if you don't read, I want to encourage you to read. Right? As a member of this church, I expect to read at least a book a month. As a member of this church, I expect there. So there are people that I put so much pressure on to ensure that they read one book a month. If you want to join that club, come and see me. That's because they've come and I requested to be mentored in a particular direction. You should read one book a month. I don't care whether it is cartoon or not. You must read one book a month. One book, 4 weeks, one book a month. Right? My own pastor grilled me to read one book a week because he was reading 4 books a month. Gateway Chapel, you must read at least one book a month. One book a month. And in any discipline, but you must read one book a month. If you're not reading one book a month, I don't really know who you are following. At least you are not following me, definitely. That's for sure. You're not following me. I read at least one book a month. And my goal is to read 4 books a month. Whether it's a Christian material, or a ministry material, or a business material, or a management material, or a leadership material, you must read 1 book a month. Complete 1 book a month. Not the one you start and put under your pillow, and by the third week you throw it under the bed. No. You must read 1 book a month. Praise the Lord. So we must desire. So let's talk about obedience for a minute. The fact of the matter is that there is help. God wants to help you to obey Him. God wants to help you to obey Him. Pastor, why did you say that? Philippians 2:12 from verse 13. It says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you. Come on, say, God is working in me. Come on, say, God is working in me. No, say it to convince. Say, God is working in me. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do. God works in you to will and to do. That means that there is God on your side, willing and wanting you to do, to obey Him. So there is help. There is help in the Holy Ghost. When you are under pressure to do what is wrong, break out in tongue. Pace up and down. Lord, help me. God will rescue you. But don't sit down and be looking like looking cool like cucumber and you are sitting down there and you're just doing the wrong thing from one thing and only you know you are doing the wrong thing. But you think nobody sees you doing the wrong thing. But the Holy Ghost sees you doing the wrong thing. May the Holy Ghost not leave us. When the Holy Spirit leaves you, what story do you have? And so there are so many spiritual zombies. They're just walking. There's no God inside them. There's no Jesus inside them. Nothing. The Jesus they have is the academic Jesus. Anybody can read the Bible and quote scriptures. I know a lady she's a Muslim. One day she was telling me, she said, I have read the complete works of Shakespeare. So I said, Macbeth. Oh, book out in Macbethan language. I said, And then she has read the complete works of Shakespeare. And I can recite it. See mind. Are you serious? So the one that can read the complete works of Shakespeare, this is nothing. I had A1 in Bible knowledge. I didn't know Jesus. I had A1. A1 in Bible knowledge. That is, I read the entire scripture, the history of the kings. I read them. I would close my eyes. They would play that thing like a movie. I was not born again, Pastor Femi. I was not born again. Everything, they were like a nice, what's this story? Epic movie for me. Read the entire, from Genesis, read everything, the movement, how they, up to the time they had no kings, to the time they now had kings, and how, I read everything, but with empty spirit. I said, Bible knowledge with empty spirit. There are so many Christians, their head is full, their heart is empty. Full head, empty heart. The spirit is empty, but their mouth is full of quotation. Their head is full of citation. Nothing in their spirit. Well, Pastor, how do you know? How do we then decipher? Your behavior. Your behavior tells me there's nothing in your spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is at work in your heart, helping you. For God which worketh in you both to will. God works in you to will and to do His good pleasure. So He's here to help you. So we can't say there's no help. We can't say there's no help. We can't say there's no help. Amen. Oh God. And you see the example that Jesus gave, you know? Jesus did everything. He did everything. He said, he who says he abides in him ought himself, verse 6, also to walk just as he walked. Verse 6, 2:6. He who says he abides in Jesus ought himself also to walk just as Jesus walked. So the key activity in the life of Jesus was to do the will of the Father. So he's saying, if you and I have to claim that we are Christians and we walk in the light, he said, my friend, you have to, whatever it costs you, it costs him his life, but whatever it will cost you, you must do the will of Christ. Verse 6. Pull up verse 6 for me. 2:6. First John, yes. He who says he abides in him, whoever claims to live in him, must walk as Jesus did. Whoever claims to... So you must walk as Jesus did. Whoever claims to live in him. The same thing. The goal of the Father, the goal of Jesus, I must do the will of him who sent me. I must do the will of him who sent me. My question to you and I and the church is this. Whose will are you doing? Whose will are you doing? Whose will am I doing? Praise the Lord. What am I saying is tonight? Church, we must come together. We must be known as the church that does the will of Christ. I don't have to be there. I don't have to be there. The greater one is there with you. Jesus is there with you. We must be known. No matter what it costs you, it costs Jesus his life to do the will of his Father. Amen? What will it cost you to obey Christ? What will it cost you? What will it cost you to change your heart? What will it cost you? Whatever it costs you, pay the price. But you know something, church? Many of us are more concerned about what our friends say than what Jesus says. That's the truth. We are more concerned about what the world thinks of us. We are more concerned about ourselves. We are more concerned about being accepted. We are more concerned about fitting in into that cliche. We are more concerned about that than holding on to your own set of values. Amen. And so, as obedient Christians, we must do the will of him who has called us. We must do the will of him who has called us. Praise the Lord. We must do the will of him who has called us. We must do the will of him who has called us. We must desire to obey God in every area. If you are cutting corners in your obedience with God, you are not a proper Christian. Go and go back to discipleship class. Seriously. That's why it's a class. That's why we run it over and over again. Don't do heroics. There are no heroes. There are no heroes. You sit down, you measure yourself, and measure your behavior, and ask yourself, is this how a proper Christian must behave? Is it the kind of choices a proper Christian make? Is it the kind of behavior? If you are not sure, go back to discipleship class. I'll be the first to register. I said myself, hit me with this word. I remember many years ago. This was about many years ago. My spiritual father called me about 1 a.m. in the morning. That was a bizarre hour. And I said I would be drooping eyes. And he was saying, I said, so I said, come here. He said, you go deeper in the Lord. You go deeper in the Lord. I go deeper. Yeah. So we came back and said, come here. He said, you go deeper. Go deeper. I want you to go deeper. What else am I supposed to be doing? How go deeper is this? Go deeper and go. What am I? And so I all for weeks and I was just thinking and so you know what? I couldn't crack it. So I went. I called my pastor and I said, Pastor, I said, I don't get this. I don't get it. How do I go deeper after this depth? This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm doing. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm doing this. I said, so what does this mean to go deeper? Because I don't understand. Why? Because I sincerely, I could just sit and say, amen. Like most people do, amen, sir. And then you walk away, you don't know anything. So what does it mean to go deeper? And where do I start? How do I know I've hit that zone? And then they sat me down and they tutored me. They tutored me. And I said, so go work on this area, work on that area, work on this area, and this bit, and this bar, and this bar. When you hit that zone, see, you will see this, you will see that, you will see this, you will see that. Okay. So please, Let me go and do 3 months' work, and I'll come back again. God help you if you don't have anybody who speaks over your life. God help you if you have no one who speaks over your life. Because you want to handle freedom yourself. I'm your pastor. I don't have freedom. If I'm the one you're following, I don't have freedom. Someone has got my reins. That's the truth. I'm a brother first. I got to take care of this body so I don't shipwreck it. So I'm not here to look like a major actor. No, someone has a yoke around my neck. So I tie the yoke myself and I give the rope to somebody else. Should I ever wander in this direction, please, I permit you to rein me in. What am I saying in conclusion? Don't pay lip service to your spiritual development. You will crash it, embarrass yourself, embarrass the gospel, embarrass your family. And then there's no such thing as a corporate phony. You will be the phony. No such thing. Because it says, and I will build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. One man's error cannot stop the church. Mm-mm. Church goes on. You be the phony. Praise the Lord. So you get serious with your spiritual life. Bible week is coming. You get serious with your spiritual life. Have a desire to obey God. I have a desire to detest anything that will directly or indirectly be associated with disobedience to the word of God. Ready? And let your faith cost you something. All this freebie mentality is bad. Let your faith cost you. Let your faith cost a friendship. Let your faith cost a friendship. Amen. Let your faith. You know, many years ago, I'll round up with this. A very good brother came and said, Pastor Eddie, then it was about investing in properties and the rest. And the man came and said, why don't we do business together? You know, you are investing in properties and why don't you invest in brother? I said, look, I love you, but you and I, we can't do business together. He said, what do you mean? I'm actually grieved. I said, no. Let me just explain my situation. I said, because listen, I said, I only follow God. I don't have friends. What did I say? I only follow God. I don't have friends. If you and I invest in a property, the day God tells me to sell that thing and give the money to the church, I won't consult you. I said, why? I said, when God told me, leave this country, move to Cyprus, I told my wife, I said, darling, I know you are very pregnant. I believe you are pregnant. Doctor says that there's no baby. I said, but you and I know there's a baby there. Do we agree? She said, yes. Okay, right now, I'm going to Cyprus. There's nothing she could have done or said. I'm going to Cyprus. I said, because God said I should go to Cyprus. Why don't you wait to see the baby first? I said, if we have to see the baby first, then that's no longer faith. But meanwhile, scan says zero. Blood test says negative. Urine test, negative. But I said, there's a baby in there. After we obey the voice of God, doctors will see that there's a baby in there. Got pregnant after the first few weeks, from nowhere, started bleeding. Bled for days. Put down the machine and said, let's check. So we are on this occasion, we are very sorry you've lost the baby. I said, they are lying. Let's go and do a test. We did blood tests, urine tests, did everything, whatever test you can do in that hospital. I said, it's a fake hospital. Let's go to a private lab. So we left them. We went to a private lab. They did blood tests. I said, that thing is not your blood. Get them to do urine tests. They did urine tests. They said it's negative. They said, what else can we do? Can we do hormone test? They said, we don't know what that one is. I said, okay, look. Bola, the doctors have lied on this occasion. You and I know that there's a baby in there. So God says I should go to Cyprus. Darling, I really have to go and obey God. And I need your support. We got married in October. This was December, January. This was February, 3 months into marriage. Are you listening? But like the humble wife that she is, obedient and supportive, he said, okay, I believe you. There's a baby here. That's it. Number two, don't go to any doctor anymore because they don't have the capacity to handle this one that God is bringing. Because God has given it, they can't see it. So let them not pull down your faith. So just ignore them. We will see. So I left February, March, April, May, 3 months. June, she said, stomach is coming. We should go to, I said, no. After 3 months, 3.5 months, and stomach is, I said, this, are you sure it's not food? He said, no, it's not food. You sure it's not food? Something like, okay, I said, go and tell them now. Go back to that same hospital. I said, you are 3 months pregnant. That's the song we have today. Don't joke with your spiritual life. Many people don't have the kind of faith to put that thing through because their life is full of compromise. They know enough, but there's nothing in their heart to pull off that kind of thing. And it's not as if God respects any man. No, I'm just a brother. I was a brother, but still a brother. That wasn't because it's Pastor Eddie. That is, I said, when we got married. 3 months into marriage. So, Chuck, let's crank this thing up a little bit. Your spiritual life. No wandering spirit. You stay focused and build. You are building something. And you are building your spiritual life. You build it. Focus and build it. And let God shine through in every area of your life. Amen. Rise to your feet and let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We bless your holy name. Lord, receive grace to focus on you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We give you all the glory. Thank you for your word that you have sent our way today. Receive grace to pay the price, to obey your word at all times, Father. And grace to look up to you for intervention in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. And grace us to keep in step as we walk in the light, as you also walk in the light. Walk with us, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Please, you may be seated.